Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk. It's a show where we take a light-hearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Tonight, football.
As soon as I stepped on the grass wanting to cross, go across, everybody made noise telling me.
It's because I have long legs, so all the short people could just kick it right through my legs. It's a disadvantage, but...
Really? Well, football or soccer is a very popular game around the world. Are you a big fan? Do you have a favorite team? And do you agree it is the most popular game around the world? Well, as usual on Let's Talk, we'll discuss this. Of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show, Shayza Mungilwa from Tanzania. Shayza, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, Sunday.
And Josephat Kioko, our viewer reporter in Mombasa, Kenya. Welcome, Josephat Kioko.
Thank you, Sunday Shomari, for having me here.
Thank you. And Mr. Muhevwa Edward Sunday from Kampala, Uganda.
Thank you for hosting me, Mr. Shomari Sunday.
Anytime. In this edition of Let's Talk, we'll be discussing football. So, why is football the most popular game around the world? I spoke to a former sports tutor and also a longest-serving producer in sports programs in Uganda Broadcasting Corporation and also a member of FUFA Uganda, Mr. Patrick Luandaga. And I wanted to know, why is that?
Well, I think everybody plays soccer all over the world, from the wombs of our mothers. We started kicking this and that from the day one. And so it's no wonder that soccer is the most popular sport the world over.
And when it comes to soccer playing here, what is your favorite position when you're watching soccer? What do you really enjoy watching your position? What position you like most?
The wings, both wings. Left and right.
Okay, and why is that?
Yeah, because these are very entertaining people who must beat their opponents on either side and, of course, cross the ball with a pinpoint precision into the box for them to head or shoot at the goalkeeper who is at their mercy.
The goalkeeper's at their mercy. So, are you telling me the goalkeeper?
That's what it should be.
So, are you telling me the least favorite position would be the goalkeeper for you?
Yeah, sure. You are at the receiving end when you are the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And you can be made a fool to dive the wrong side.
Yeah, especially on the penalties. Don't you like it? Patrick, tell me here, what is this tactic that these players use these days when they do their penalties? Keepers go the wrong side. How do they do these things,
yeah,
man?
Sure. It beats me as well, because you can imagine that if you chose to shoot where the goalkeeper is, because it's definitely going to dive.
Yeah.
So if you shoot in the center of the goal, you can be sure that your spot kick will be counted.
And tell me,
because the keepers really love diving the wrong side.
But I'm looking at these penalties these days, and I see, whoa, these players are spectacular. They can do wonders. But when I saw the German...
It was German and Italy.
Yes, tell me about German and Italy.
Yeah.
How is that possible when we know these days the players are so great in penalties? We saw this just blowing it up.
I think these two teams wanted to finish the game in the 90 minutes, the regular time.
Right.
When it came to extra time, they realized they couldn't do much and waited for the spot kicks. And definitely, you know that at this time, the tension is really mounting on either side. So the tension is really caught up with the teams. And the result is what we got.
They couldn't convert those penalties, man.
Yeah, sure.
I think that game will go down in history with a lot of penalties that people just blew up. you know?
Yes, they really. Look at the chance of Italy.
Yeah.
When they had that penalty to convert the regular five spot kicks. And then the chap in position number five of the spot kicks blew it away.
I know.
And then the German captain, when the chance was for German to go through, Schweinsteiger. So blew it.
Exactly. And this is a great player.
So it will go down in history, like you say.
Thank you, Patrick Luandaga. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing soccer. Now, I just want to know, if I say one thing here, back in 2006, according to FIFA Big Count, football or soccer is the most popular sport in the world. In terms of players, there were about 265 million soccer players around the world. Now, with so many registered soccer players across the globe, it is not surprising that this game has more fans worldwide than any other sport. So I want to know, why is that the case? Now, maybe you, I'll start with you, Shaza. Tell me here, why do you think this is the case?
Well, I'll talk about on our part in Africa. Most of us, you see, we never grew up, we never had the other sports, for instance, basketball. It needed a lot of things to actually get to play basketball. You needed a board, you needed a hoop. But you see, with football, what happened was all you needed to do is to take a couple of garbage bags, tie them up together, make a ball, and put a shoe on one side and a stone on the other side. That's all you needed to play football. So it was very popular because everybody started playing football here in Africa at a very young age, even though they knew other sports. But football was always the first one.
You're right about that, brother. It's so inexpensive. Those are the reasons, too, I found out that so many people talk about being... It's popular because it's not expensive. You don't have to buy nothing, really. So anyway, let's talk to you, Josephat Kioko, in Kenya. What do you think on your end here, sir?
Vince, Sunday, first, let me start by saying I'm very crazy with African football.
Okay.
I love football in Africa. Leave alone football played in Europe. I'm very crazy with the African team. I love the African Cup of Nations. I love the World Cup because African teams go to play the FIFA World Cup. And I think the popularity is about football has been commercialized so much by FIFA and other organizations under FIFA. And because even people like football, women, the girls, the boys, even the grown-ups love football. I think it's a sport which has been globally commercialized.
Yeah, that's the case. You're right about that. It's very, very commercialized. And especially like here in America, you find girls playing soccer really, very well. Very well. We all know that. Okay. Sunday in Kampala, tell me about your end, my brother. Why do you think this game has been very popular?
I think to me, being a Ugandan, a traditional Ugandan, I would think football being popularized in the whole world, it isn't because of the new generation, but the past generation of how football is played and how football is being taken among Africans. Let's say, like football in the past years, let's say in Africa, like in Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, East Africa, that is CECAFA football tournament. This game has been played on basically like, let's promote our region. And it has no discrimination, it has no racial. And again, football being popularized and the most loved game is because it is played by a number or a quite number of people. A game played by 11 men on each side, making it 22 as the coaches, definitely would make it popular. And I would tell you that when you look at football now, it being popular, you would simply say not because of money, but because football brings togetherness, football brings people together, football brings harmony, football solves problems. I think that is my reason, or some reasons. And again, football, when you look at how football was being introduced in Africa, it was introduced on the basis of commercialization, but it was introduced just to make African boys happy when they are free. After slavery, after all the hard times, football would be played just to make people happy and relax after a hard, long day.
Okay, thank you, Sunday. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, you're right. It's about peace, it's about harmony, it's about the camaraderie. It brings people together. Thank you. Very good point. And according to kidsprosoccer.com, they state soccer has been very popular and better than other sports. One of the reasons they mention is inexpensive, just like as Shaza said in Tanzania. And also, they say it's also easy to learn. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Right now, we are discussing football. When a big game arrives, a lot of people are glued on their TV screens or go to the stadium. Is this the trend all over the world? And why is that? And I spoke to my colleague Ayen Bior, and I wanted to know, what is her favorite position in soccer, who happens to be a soccer player too?
I love defense, because when you play defense, you really have to anticipate where the ball is going. Because anticipation is your greatest weapon, that allows you to basically start running before the ball even gets there, so you can meet the ball and stop it.
And you see, like, you are tall. Does it get you more advantage, you think, when you come to the soccer pitch, being tall?
Absolutely not. It's a complete disadvantage, because I have long legs, so all the short people could just kick it right through my legs. And, you know, and they're faster than me, so it's like, it's a disadvantage, but
really?
I make it work.
But you make it work. I think I've seen all this, like, now we're watching the Euro 2016 World Cup and everybody else. You see, tall players most of the time have the advantage and they enjoy when it comes to corner kicks. You know, they can jump over there and just hit that ball down to the net. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's... I've seen some really amazing goal kicks simply because the one person was taller than the other person. Hey. Yeah, absolutely. For me, being on defense, it's a little harder.
It's a little harder. Yeah. You know, Jurgen Klinsmann, during his time, he's a tall guy. He was enjoying a lot of headers, getting the balls into the net. Now when you're watching soccer all this time, you see people like Ronaldo. He's a tall guy too. He's losing headers a lot, getting into the ball. I mean, how do you find it as a defense player like yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How hard it is to try to defend a guy like Ronaldo?
Oh, you know, it's For me, what I've learned is that it's really important to have, like, space between me and the defender.
Okay.
Because, you know, obviously someone like Ronaldo, he's super fast.
Right.
So, and it also depends on how close you are to the net. So if he's really close to the net, I'm going to be right there, right by him. If we're further from the net, I'm going to give him space. That way I have enough space to stop him. So there's different tactics that you can use when playing somebody who is a really, really amazing athlete. But it is a team sport. So if they beat me, I'm hoping, you know, my friend behind me has my back until I could, you know, just kind of get back in front of him. But that's why soccer is such an amazing sport, you know, because you really are allowed time to sort of recuperate from making a mistake before the person makes a goal. So, you know, it's great.
And it's so hard, you know, to get goals like any other games. You know, other games you see so many points scored, like basketball, like American football.
Exactly.
But when you come to soccer, it's a whole different ballgame.
Right,
so
exactly.
You score someone. So how do you think it becomes exciting when getting a goal?
You know, just the strategy behind it. Just watching, just that anticipation of it, you know, possibly making a goal. So we're saying at the end of a soccer game, on average, there's about 2-3 points if the team is really good. But how many points were attempted? Like, those attempted shots really get your blood going.
Mm.
It really is a game of strategy. And so I think that soccer fans watch soccer to kind of see, like, what the plan is. Just that anticipation that happens between goals is what makes soccer what soccer is.
Thank you, Ayen Bior. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing football. And back to you guys. One of the reasons stated soccer is popular is fluid to play, which means there's no pauses all the time. Like when you see American football or basketball, there's always pauses to see what happened and technology comes in. But there has been also so many controversies as well. As we all remember the famous hand of God from Maradona in 1986 Soccer World Cup in the game of Argentina versus England. That game, this June 2016, was his 30th anniversary. And he taunted it to say that Maradona now says it was a payback for the Falklands War, where the British defeated Argentina's invasion of the Falklands in 1982. And another example of these problems is Thierry Henry's handball in the game of France versus Republic of Ireland in 2009. So France qualified for the 2010 World Cup at the expense of Republic of Ireland because Thierry Henry used his hand and nobody saw it. So there has been so many other examples anyway, but I want to ask you guys, do you think it's time now for technology to be involved more in football?
I think it's better off the way it is. You know, so much
really?
Technology will start bringing those stuff that you're talking about.
The poses There'll will come
so
in,
much poses in the game, which will probably mean that a person will have to take more time to watch football. But I think this technology part can also actually, it will make us lose most of the good part about football. For instance, you said Maradona's hand of God was a statement. You see that? Now, football right there is being used as a platform to bring out somebody's feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, for instance, if that never went in, technology stopped that from happening. Mm. Imagine if there was a story like that. Imagine if there was a payback like that. Technology, I think, as far as we've taken it, as far as goal line technology, I think that's enough. We don't need more stops like we have, for instance, in rugby and basketball.
Yeah. Okay. Well said, Chaser. Tell me, what do you think, Sunday there in Kampala, my friend?
I think the introduction of goal line technology, I think, would have at least made us believe in football, or maybe to make it fair for the teams that have been complaining over, let's say, handballs or goal off, not balls not going into the net, like the balls not cross the line. All that has been solved by goal line technology. But to me, I still believe there is still need for more technology, like advancement in this game of football. But at the same time, I would simply say that I would agree with Shaiza that at times when you introduce much of technology into this game, you make us fans lose appetite in watching the game. Because that would be technology playing, not football, being played by individuals.
Kioko, what do you think on your side?
Let me pick a controversy surrounding football.
Mm-hmm.
And I start by saying The Hand of God by Diego Maradona, 1986. It's now 30 years down the lane.
Yes.
After what happened and the Argentina won the World Cup.
Yeah.
30 years later, countryman Lionel Messi is surrounded by another controversy, being of tax evasion in Spain. Footballers, football stars missing penalties. Those are some of the controversies. Mm. I remember when Ghana was playing during the World Cup.
Mm.
And Asamoah Gyan missed the penalty. He went back home and the mother told Asamoah, never take penalty for
anymore
masters again.
Yeah.
Never, ever. Those are some of the controversies. Look at the big men shedding tears after losing very important matches.
Mm.
These are some of the controversies. There are others going with their girlfriends to the stadiums and missing penalties and losing very important games. That translates to money. Because football is also about money.
Oh, yeah.
Big money paid to stars in Europe and the competition by clubs. Manchester United, today is the richest, tomorrow another club. That kind of a competition also makes football to be a game to admire more than other sports.
Okay. Well said, Josephat Kioko. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours 30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back.
It's Legendary Beats.
Pray for blessing.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Sunday Shumari, in our Washington studio. And on the phone, Joseph at Kiyoko, Sunday, and Shaza in Dar es Salaam, Kampala, and Kenya. Well, I want to ask you something else here, Shaza, before we close this out. Now, if it's no time for technology anyway, football is just as popular as anything else. But you mentioned so many things here being introduced into the game of football. But what is the problem when it comes to football, as far as popular as it is in Africa? Why don't these teams always go and win and make waves to the World Cup? Especially if you look at how many players Africa have all over these big leagues. But why African teams always don't do better in the World Cup? What do you think, Shaza?
Well, it's a couple of factors, Sunday. It's a whole lot of things. And I'll tell you some of the things are just not to be said. But
okay.
The things that we could change, I'll work on our side. Because it don't matter how much, maybe somewhere, some of them are being oppressed here or there. That's not the case. That's not the big issue. Maybe it is, but the thing is that you also need to better yourself. We've had a world player coming from Africa, George Weah, if you still remember. Yeah, he was one of the best world footballers. In short, what I'm trying to say is, with Africa, we have a problem with I think some of our players. It's the mentoring. Some of our players that we see coming in from Africa, I can talk about, for instance, countries like ours in Eastern Africa. Let me keep with us. Yeah, we have, for instance, Tanzania has Mbwana Samata. Mbwana Samata right now is the star of Tanzania,
right.
And that's what every Tanzanian is looking at. Mm. Okay, mm-hmm. Mbwana Samata plays for Genk. Mbwana Samata came in, he never played in any academy before. He's just one of those really talented players.
Right.
But you see, the thing is that talent sometimes needs to be nurtured.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
At the age that he started playing football, if he had started in an academy much earlier, I think he would have been a much better player than he is today. And that's what most of our players are missing. Some of them coming from academies, yes, we see that. But for East African players, mostly, except Ugandans, are missing the physicality. We don't have the physique. Most of our players are just talented, very good players, but they don't have the physique. Ugandans have the physique. I'm sorry to say, but let me not talk about the Ugandan team. The Ugandan team is the best team in Eastern Africa.
Maybe Sunday will tell us more about that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I'm sorry to say, Uganda does not have the most talented players in East Africa. They actually have the right players who are nurtured properly. Mm. They're nurtured the way a footballer is supposed to.
And they have the physique, Tanzania, too.
And they have the physique, yes. And naturally, Ugandans have big bodies. The Ugandans are big-boned. They're pretty strong.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that helped. With Tanzanian players and some Kenyan players are missing so much of the physique.
Okay, fine. That's how you see it. But let's see, is it only the physique? Sunday, you're in Uganda. Tell me about your Ugandan team. And what do you think is not doing better? Maybe not the talent too much, or what's going on?
Shaiza, I want to give thanks to Shaiza for at least applauding Uganda that we have most physique players in East Africa. Fantastic.
Okay.
Not only physique, you have the better team.
And the better team too. Wow. Okay.
Sunday, I think, why Africans are not basically performing well at the World Cup, not necessarily being too much of physique or being physically fit or with that huge body, but I think there are some other factors that make us not perform well at the World Cup. One of them is poor league. We have poor league, that our leagues are poorly facilitated by both the football associations in our countries here in Africa and by the government. Like in FIFA, the government should not intervene in FA matters. But here in Africa, it is the opposite. The government wants to intervene in whatever the football associations are doing. And in doing that, they're not even funding. Like let's say in Uganda here, the Ugandan team is well-known on good football. But when it comes to playing World Cup qualifiers, you find our team begging into churches, going into mosques, begging on wanting funding for our team to travel, let's say Nigeria. And we have got a record that whenever we travel, we do better. And whenever we are at home needing 1 point, our team is massive. We go to I remember last time we were playing Ghana, we beat Ghana here. We went to Ghana and got a point. But you imagine a small team coming to Uganda and knows Uganda has got problems with the financial problems and poor league, and that becomes a problem. And another thing is the basics. These European teams, why they go out and become so power or having gone to semifinals or quarterfinals, are the basics of football. These guys are grown up knowing I'm going to play for my country. Here in Africa, you get a player at 29, you introduce national football. The next year, you tell him you are going to play World Cup. Really, if a player has been playing or feeding on grass, you cannot compare him to Antoine Griezmann, who at 18, at 17, was playing professional football. He knows the basics. He knows when to turn. He knows when to play football. He knows how to anger you, and he knows when to score. But African players do not know that. So we need more time on learning basics. Other things that will always make us not to qualify for World Cup or play poor football at World Cup is believing in things like juju. I will tell you that.
Still believe in juju, huh?
Yeah, you go to. Yeah, exactly.
I'll end on the juju part that he's talking about.
Okay.
What he's telling is actually very true, Sunday.
Yeah.
This year, sometime during when the league was still going on here in Tanzania, I was in Tanga for a game, for one of the games that was being played there. Now, I was there before the game had started.
Okay.
What I wanted to do, it was actually, I think, 2 hours before the game. So I got to the pitch because I'd gone there with a certain crew who were filming a bit. So I was on the side of the pitch. Then I wanted to take a microphone to the other side of the pitch. And I, as soon as I stepped on the grass wanting to cross, go across, everybody made noise telling me, you better go back.
What? As if there's a bomb or something?
I'm being told that would have been something very fatal.
Really? What did they have over there, man?
I wish I knew. Actually, I'm thankful I don't.
Wow. I'm telling you, this is serious, right? This is some serious business in African soccer. Oh, man. Let's Talk. That's the program you're tuned to. And our topic tonight is football. And that's it for our show tonight on football. A big thank you to our guests over the phone. And I want to mention that the ones who are here with me, Josephat Kioko, our viewer reporter in Mombasa, Kenya. Thank you, Josephat Kioko, for participating tonight.
Thanks so much, Sunday
Shumari. All right, and Sunday, Munerwa Eduardo from Uganda, Kampala. Thank you, my friend, for coming here tonight.
It's my pleasure to be hosted in the Voice of America. Thank you so much, Sunday.
You're welcome. And of course, from Tanzania, Sheiza Mungilwa, radio and TV presenter. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
It's my pleasure being with you, Sunday.
All right, anytime. Jackson Mvunganyi is our producer. And as usual, send in your comments and story ideas. We love to hear from you. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942 and leave us a voicemail message. The number again is 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be marathon. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Madu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.